This episode is brought to you by Aiken's PC Repair. If you have a computer that needs some work, if you would like to get a new computer but you don't want to shell out new computer money, go to my buddy Cody Aikens at AikensPCRepair.com. He's got refurbished computers, which means that they are better than new, really, because he will certify them. He goes over them, make sure that they're working just as good, if not better than new. And it's not some geeky pizza-faced kid at Best Buy doing it. This is my buddy Cody, who knows way too much about computers, like an exhaustive amount about computers. So go to AikensPCRepair.com if you need a new computer, or your computer that you have is running like crap. Also, if your iPhone's running like crap, tablet's running like crap, if you got a, what are other devices? I don't know if he does Apple Watches. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. I know if it has a screen, he can probably fix it. If you have a problem with anything, take it to AikensPCRepair.com. Make my computer guy your computer guy at AikensPCRepair.com.
Listen to this.
Because
it could save your life.
Yeah, buddy. It is. Listen to the show because it could save your life with me, Jonathan Weir, and my good buddy James. Rod is visiting family in Texas, so he's not going to be joining us for the show today.
He sent him a Texas text.
A Texas text, which I believe is a bullet in an extremity. Not center mass. It's got to be a foot, a hand, maybe a shoulder.
You wing them.
That's what you do. Speaking of winging them, we're going to wing it today. Why did that sound happen when I yelled? The first thing we're going to do is tell you guys.
Startled your computer.
We're going to tell you what facts we're going to be talking about on the show today. For instance, a plane had to make an emergency landing because of a fart. Not just one fart, but several farts. Which South Park episode did the creator, or co-creator, even though, let's be honest, he does all the work, Trey Parker, begged his show's executive producer not to air? He did not want this episode to air. He said, please don't do it. It's going to be monumental failure. We won't recover from this. But it actually went on to be one of their best episodes of all time. And
okay, now that's thrown me, because I thought I had the answer there, but then you said it was one of the best episodes of all time, and now I'm like, I don't think that's it then.
Yep. And then my final fact is why Kraft Foods introduced its boxed macaroni and cheese. When, why, and how? Sure. James, what are your facts today?
Well, it's not one of my facts, but did you know up north they call that Kraft Dinner?
Yes, I did. I did know that.
Kraft Dinner.
Because they're weirdos up there. They're loonies, even. What are your facts, James?
I have a unexpected sporting arena atop the Supreme Court.
You say what now?
There's a sports arena
atop the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about? Are you talking about Ginsburg's basketball court where she did one on one?
It's not hers. I have MI6 trolling Al Qaeda.
Okay, I love it.
And I have, what else do I have? I have stuff.
You got
things,
all sorts
and
of facts
and I'm glorious.
Looking forward to that.
Last night.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's a good
classy
good
stuff.
Fact. Good. I mean, we did sit here waiting for 40 minutes for Rod to show up. Seems like you could have grabbed it in that time, but you know that's.
I didn't know. I forgot to.
On you, that's fine. All right, but before we get to
I'll cut your face, I'll cut your pretty fucking face, John. Then you won't be so pretty for radio, will
you? Well, you. I mean, you just call me pretty, so I don't care that you're threatening me. That's fine. All right, it's time, before we get to facts, for a cameo review.
Cameo.
Review it.
Damn! Cameo review today is the one, the only, the nature boy, Ric Flair, who, I know, not personally, but regionally, he does commercials for a gas station up here called Cumberland Farms, which is New England's version of Quick Trip. only not nearly, it's really bad. It's really gross. It's really not. I mean, it's okay. It's just no Quick Trip.
It's no Quick Trip.
Nothing's as good as Quick Trip. Like, that's the, I'll be honest with you, James, the number one thing I miss from living in the Midwest, because the weather here isn't that different. It snows a little bit more. Eh, whatever. It's a little bit colder. I actually don't mind the cold, but I do miss Quick Trip more than anything. I can't believe they're not everywhere. It's ridiculous.
I'm trying to remember when Quick Trip made its inroad into the greater St. Louis metropolitan area, but life's never been the same since.
Right. And if you live in the Metro East, they haven't had Quick Trip over there for a while, for a couple of years, which is disgusting.
Weird.
Circle K? They got pissed off about something to do with Illinois. I can't remember. But Quick Trip is obviously huge in Missouri. I remember the first time I went to a Quick Trip, it was in the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
No, fifth grade.
Okay.
I remember fifth grade, and I remember that it was because my mom went to the hospital to give birth to my little brother. So my brother and I were allowed to stay home.
Typical your mom.
Yeah, giving birth to babies instead of just, you know, at a hospital, instead of squatting in an alley, letting them just matriculate out of the womb. But,
go to school.
But I remember we were allowed to stay home, and my brother and I walked up to Quick Trip, like, it just opened. So November of 1993 or so. 92 is when that kid was born.
Not a terrible walk, but a little bit of a jaunt.
Yeah, I mean, it was just up Centerville Avenue. It wasn't too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my first time going to Quick Trip, and it was, I remember going in and be like, oh my god. And then, like, we went there every day after that.
It was that scene in Clerks when Randall goes into the Good Video Store and just falls to his knees, and he's like, yeah. Oh,
it was like that. Yep. The Angels blasted horns in my face. At least I think it was Angels. Anyway,
there were horns in your face. That's what you know.
Ric Flair, also a part of our childhoods, where he played the Nature Boy. He recently had a heart attack and is, I think, doing better now. Though, based on these videos, he doesn't look much better. See, here's the thing. Ric Flair wore sunglasses a lot. And when you're old and you wear sunglasses, it doesn't look cool anymore. It just looks like you have cataracts. So it's not a great look. I always wonder this about Ric Flair, though. Why was he called the Nature Boy? Like, Nature Boy, to me, seems like he would be wearing, like, a onesie made out of leaves. Or something, you know, like he'd carry a big stick.
I watched the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair, and it was entertaining, but I don't remember them ever addressing why he was called the Nature Boy.
I didn't know there was a 30 for 30 on him.
That's pretty good. Yeah. He's an interesting fella. Real name's Richard Fleer.
Okay, so here's the reason. Buddy Rogers created the flamboyant, arrogant character who he named after a jazz song. So there was a jazz song called The Nature Boy. He was a bleached blonde ladies' man whose signature was the figure four leg lock, but Rogers disappeared from the wrestling scene shortly after losing the WWF championship to Bruno Sammartino in the 70s. Ric Flair basically stole the name and character from the original Nature Boy in 1979. Rogers challenged Ric Flair in the Battle of the Nature Boys. Flair won the battle and kept the name and the character for the next 40 years. So there you go. Here is Ric Flair doing a cameo where you can hire him to say, like, happy birthday and other things to people. Here we go.
This goes out to the one and only Ansley.
I feel like he needs to build up some steam. Like,
yeah, you don't just start. You'd be like, hey guys, how's it going? Ric Flair, Nature Boy.
Woo!
You know, that kind of thing. But instead, he's, hey, Ansley! Okay, fine.
Yeah, like he's got to build up a head of steam for that.
Well, maybe he's like, look, I don't have much time left on this earth. I need to get to the point right away. I don't need to be wasting people's time.
He's from that era of wrestlers where, like, you didn't really have to be a physical specimen. You just had to be a big guy.
Yeah, true. But he was in good shape. I'd say he was, yeah. Like Gorilla George or whatever the guy's name was, who was just a fat ass. Remember Earthquake? Mm. And then Tsunami? And
Tugboat.
Tugboat.
Tugboat, I think, became Tsunami.
Yeah.
He had a lot of handles.
I mean, it was just, it was.
His CB handles changed.
If you could get into the ring without having a heart attack, you could wrestle.
Jinsun, happy 40th birthday, my brother. February 28th being the big day.
He kind of went into that one a little
better. Beautiful, smoking, hot woman. Casey reached out to me. Told me not only.
It's getting a little creepy here, Rick.
He can turn it on a little faster.
Yeah.
40, you are expecting your first child. Well, God bless you, man. Not only that, but you're a huge fan of the Ninja Boy. That means you style and profile. You limousine ride your jet fly. And beyond everything else, you look as only you can look on your 40th birthday.
That is not a compliment. You look only like you can look. Hey, no matter what anybody says about you, don't forget, you 100% every single day look exactly like you look.
Nobody's mistaking you for anybody else.
Nobody's trying to pass himself off as you. You do not have to worry about identity theft, that's for sure.
Hey, happy birthday, man. God bless you. Take care of that beautiful Casey, and we will all look forward to the birth of that beautiful child. God bless you. Today, Ansley, you are the man. Happy birthday. Woo!
Okay, so is Ansley the guy?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think you kind of jumped into a lady, and the lady with something with a J.
Who was hot? Who was the hot one?
That was the J lady.
Okay, the J lady was hot, and he banged her up, and now she has a puppy in the oven.
Her first child.
Their first child. At 40? Good luck with that. Sorry. That was rude.
No.
I'm just saying.
I will die without progeny.
You don't know that. Maybe you'll land face first into a bunch of money.
Mm.
I mean, you know, the advantage you have as...
Huh? Patreon?
Yeah. Huh?
Patreon, are you listening?
Look it up. Weirdshow.com. Find our Patreon link there. Help James out. He doesn't want to die without a progeny. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get enough donations so that he can impress some woman by fanning out a bunch of $100 bills.
Just wiping his brow with all over the place.
Oh, just throwing them at her. Like, you want to have my seed in your belly?
That's how it works, right? That's how you woo the ladies?
That's how I did it twice. Had to wait for my tax refund to come in. But when I did,
It's weird that Katie has that thing where she doesn't understand how a calendar works.
And,
smart as a whip otherwise, but just doesn't understand.
She just doesn't. I mean, I think it comes with the territory of being married to somebody who creates nothing but chaos and events in her life. So she's just like, it doesn't matter what day it is. I know it's going to suck. It doesn't matter.
Like, it doesn't matter. That pattern of seasons just doesn't register. And she's like,
right.
He is wealthy all of a sudden. All right.
All right. Oh, and now the money's all.
I did not hitch my cart to the wrong wagon here. No,
right.
This is
It only took.
Hey,
where'd all that money?
Where'd all the fancy money? It's not just money. It's fancy money.
I put glitter all over the $100 bills. Did I ever tell you when I first started here in Boston on my morning show? Ayla, my co-host, and Jim, my producer, both thought that I was some... they didn't know what to think of me. I mean, because they were just meeting me as we were starting the show together, you know. They thought that I was going to strip clubs all the time. Which, James, you know me. Never even been to a strip club. I'm not judgmental about it. It just doesn't interest me. It's like, I'm just not into that.
I mean... myself and all of our other small circle of close friends have definitely been. Yeah. I was 24, 25 before I went.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like a thing that I had to, like, right. I had to check that like off.
You're 21, I got to go. I don't know. I don't like crowds. I don't like loud music too much.
They're really surreal.
And yeah, I don't like that aspect of it. It just seems so phony. Like, it just seems so fake. So I've never been into it.
Oh, it is. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah. See,
That's
kind of a trigger for me. Is I kind of melt down when I think that there's just, I'm surrounded by, and it's fine. Whatever. I'm not judging anybody. I'm saying it's my problem. My point is, they thought I was going to
Holden Caulfield
going to strip clubs all the time. Because when I came in the morning, I would have glitter on my face. The reason I had glitter on my face...
That's just your morning routine.
...is because I was... when we were moving in, we had a bunch of boxes of Christmas stuff. And it was like a wreath. And the wreath like had glitter all over it. And the glitter got like out. It got everywhere. It was all over the place. We were still sweeping up this glitter days later. And so the glitter was on my face from Christmas decorations. And they were just like, this dude is going to the champagne room and blowing all of his money that he just started making. Like, in their heads, I'm like this weirdo. I mean, they're not wrong, but I'm this weirdo from the West who's in the big city for the first time going to strip clubs.
They were wrong about everything but the strip club. I
honestly don't know where the strip clubs even are around here.
I was about to ask it because it's in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. You have to go to Illinois. Like, they don't have them in Missouri.
Yeah. I'm looking it up now.
Or they don't.
There's a lot of gay strip clubs. Wow.
They don't have them in St. Louis. They have them in Missouri.
Okay, there's
I think they have them.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Yeah. But there is
I think they have them outside of Columbia and stuff because, you know, college girls.
That makes sense. Yeah. And college boys. There's the Hunkomania Male Strip Club.
Hunkomania.
Right. Speaking of wrestlers, which has 5 stars.
Oh.
Where is this at? This is like Back Bay. I guess it's kind of the center of town. I don't know. I would assume they would have been down.
You're learning with us.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if this is any good. I'm sorry. I just assume they'd be on Route 1, but they're not. Anyway, who cares? I wasn't going to strip clubs. I have no idea where the strip clubs even are. I have enough money now that I could probably go to a strip club and probably enjoy myself. And I don't because that's just gross. It's just disgusting to me. You know, I'm a married man. I'm committed. Though my wife did tell me today she wants to start sleeping in separate rooms, so that was fun. It's time to do facts!
Facts.
Facts are facts.
How interesting.
Facts. Here's a fact for you. It's free. I read earlier this week that apparently dentists can tell if you've been sucking dick.
Oh.
You know how?
Magic?
Apparently, if you've been doing it enough, you'll have bruising on your soft palate.
Oh.
Right. Yep. That's what they, that's a story I read in my show prep this week and went, I can't talk about this on air, but Jim, is this true? Anyway, oh yeah.
The soft palate, huh?
Soft palate. Yep. You get some bruising back there. You know, if you're with somebody who can, oh, that's a soft palate bruiser right there, that guy.
Isn't your soft palate under your tongue?
I don't know. Fine, the back of your throat. I thought that was a soft palate, was the top of your...
Your hard palate's the roof of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. I thought the soft palate was the behind that. Oh, are we doing this, really?
Oh, we're doing it.
Soft palate.
We're having a blowjob discussion.
it's behind the hard palate. Yep, it's not underneath the tongue. That wouldn't make any sense. I don't know what the underneath. God damn, the tongue is huge though. Jesus fuck. You ever see how big the tongue is? Like, it just keeps going. That's impressive. It's an impressive muscle. All right,
and then you listen to Detroit Rock City.
My first fact is this. Back in 2015, there was an emergency landing because of farts. It was a flight from Sydney, Australia to Kuala Lumpur, which is kind of funny. There's a flight from Sydney, Australia to anywhere else named Koala. Anywhere we could. What are we doing here? That's just silly. Was diverted.
They're not really bears.
Was diverted to Bali's capital after the crew received an indication of smoke in the cargo hold. After the plane landed, officials found no sign
of smoke in the cargo. Fire in the sky.
So you might be thinking somebody farted and they're trying to cover it up, you know, like lighting a match or whatever, just lighting a bunch of matches. After the plane landed, officials found no sign of smoke or fire. The culprit was emissions from the 2,186 sheep on board. Yeah.
They got nervous.
Sheep hate flying. It's true. They get up there, they see the ground, they don't know what's going on. They fart a lot. So yeah, that's some gassy animals caused a minor crisis on board a Singapore Airlines plane. And I'm assuming this was like a cargo plane. It doesn't really say. So I'm assuming it is. I don't know how else you get 2,000 sheep on board just a regular plane. Just let them all.
Just throw them in.
Just
where throw them in the
people
bag
on the plane are like, oh god, I hope I don't get sit next to that guy on my flight. Anyway, all right.
Typical
fucking sheep. Fucking sheeple is what it is. Mm-hmm. I bet those. It was those sheep were probably the only time more sheep like that were in the air where they'd fly into Biden's inauguration.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if you know this. Sheep love Biden. It's weird. Sheep. Cows hate him. Sheep love him. Ducks, kind of indifferent.
He's a calming. He doesn't bring enough bread with him. That's why the ducks are
The ducks are like, yeah, I can take him or leave him, you know. But
if he brought more bread with him,
right,
he'd have the duck vote locked. Just saying.
What president do you think would be most popular with farm animals?
Coolidge?
Yeah, he had a lot of them. He had a lot of them on the front line. He, I believe, used goats to manicure the front lawn. Yep.
Coolidge seems like a pretty agrarian kind of guy.
I think not Taft, because they'd be like, that fat fuck's going to eat us all. No, I don't trust them.
Yeah, there'd be some nerves.
Yeah,
with Taft. Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt, definite no go. Oh, he's going to kill us.
He's definitely going to kill us. He's got our heads all over his walls. All right. How do you think farm animals would feel about FDR? I think, like, you know, being in a wheelchair, I think they would feel like, oh, we can just go up to him and he'll pet us.
But Eleanor.
Hmm.
Eleanor might just snap their necks.
I can see. She was super strong. Superhuman strength, Eleanor. That's from having to carry FDR all over the place. A few people know that. To get out of his wheelchair every night, she had to pick him up and put him in bed every night.
Gorilla Press slammed him into the bed every just.
They left that out of the Ken Burns documentary, but you go and read some history about Eleanor Roosevelt.
It wasn't like, because I don't know if you know this, Frankie skipped leg day a lot.
That it wasn't so much the polio. It was it was the fact that he just didn't put in the effort.
Yeah.
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 Skipped leg day.
I don't know why that's really funny to me, but it is.
All right, James, what is your first fact?
My first fact, as you totally spoiled, is there is a basketball court atop the Supreme Court building.
Good.
Directly above the nation's most important tribunal is a different type of court, where victors emerge not with 5 votes and a majority of majority opinion, but with 21 points and a margin of at least 2. You got to win by 2.
Mm.
And you got to check. Check the fucking ball, John. Check the ball.
Ball don't lie.
Fifth and top floor of the glorious neoclassical edifice on First Street Northeast is a basketball court. A pair of plexiglass backboards, wood until 1984, hang from the ceiling, which
wooden,
is just 14
really?
Feet. Yeah, 14 feet, 4 inches above the playing surface. A pristine hardwood installed in 2015. At roughly 78 feet long and 37 feet wide, the court is smaller than regulation, which is 94 by 50. But, you know, it's about, you know, 2/3, give or take. Maybe 3/4. That's about 3/4. Walls hugging the sidelines, and the eagle of the Supreme Court seal spreading its wings across midcourt. Classy.
Yeah.
Near the entrance, a sign warns, playing basketball and weightlifting are prohibited while court is in session. The gym is an afterthought. That's because it was. If the gym seems like an afterthought, it's because it was. Buildings architect Cass Gilbert designed the room for storage. At an unknown point in the 1940s, the building opened in 1935. An unknown person transformed it into a gym. According to the 1965 book, Equal Justice Under Law, the Supreme Court in American Life, Cass Gilbert Jr. suggested the makeover, but the Supreme Court's curator's office hasn't verified that account. Early on, Justice Hugo Black used the room as a makeshift tennis court, but basketball has become the house game. Security guards, cafeteria workers, clerks, librarians, and the occasional justice head upstairs for ragged games of pickup.
Wow.
The original floor, I really
want to see
concrete and unforgiving.
Good Lord. I really want to see like some court drawings, you know, because you can't have cameras in there, but you can have like the artist depictions of what's going on of like the court, like of like Breyer, like throwing an elbow into Kavanaugh's face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like jail basketball.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. They probably put like little pins underneath their sweatbands.
Sweatbands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No blood, no foul. Yeah. No blood, no foul. Bitch. That's Supreme Court rules.
That's actually first said by Ginsburg. It's true. No blood, no foul, bitch.
I dissent. Boom.
All right, interesting. My second fact is that South Park,
they call it the highest court in the land.
That's adorable.
The
co-creator of South Park, Trey Parker, which I never put it together. His name is Parker in South Park, whatever. I'm sure that has nothing to do with anything, but it's just this thing. And honestly, I've seen a lot of interviews. I really love South Park, and I've seen a lot of interviews with Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and it really does kind of feel like Trey Parker is the Matt Damon to Matt Stone's Ben Affleck, where, you know, he's doing most of the work, and Matt Stone is just his good buddy who's, you know, there for some ideas and for some help and things like that. But I don't think he has that much to do with it, because it seems like all of the interviews about the show, it's Trey Parker like, yeah, here's what we did.
Hey, I have no problem with the good buddy of successful people glomming on.
Yeah.
And not really providing that. Maybe a little bit.
Maybe one day you'll find a successful person to be the grouper fish of their shark. Trey Parker begged his show's executive producer not to air one episode of South Park because he was afraid it would ruin the show. That episode was Make Love, Not Warcraft, which is where they play World of Warcraft, and it shows them in the game and everything. It received critical acclaim and earned a Primetime Emmy Award.
So when you did the follow-up, or like the layout of it, I was convinced it was the Terrence and Phillip special.
Yes, but no. That to me seems like one they would have been like, I'm glad it sucks. I want everybody to hate us. Because they did. Like, they intentionally did that just to like piss everybody off, which is kind of great. But I remember watching it getting pissed off.
Because it was supposed to be the Who's Cartman's dad thing, right?
Yeah. Right. And they were actually making fun of the Simpsons Who Shot Mr. Burns thing. Like, not, you know, in their own shitty little way. Like, hey, we love this show, but also fuck that show. I saw, I was listening to a podcast with Trey Parker. He was on it, and it was really funny because he was talking about how his kids don't think he's funny at all. And he was like, why don't you, I'm funny. Obviously, I'm funny. I made one of the most successful comedy shows of all time, and I've done all this stuff that's comedy based. Obviously I'm funny. And
basketball.
His son said to him, yeah, Dad, I don't know, your comedy's just really derpy. You know? It's just really derpy. And Trey Parker's like, I invented that fucking word. That was me, Mr. Derp, who replaced Chef on South Park. That was me. Yeah. I go through that all the time with Henry, though, where he's like, you're not funny, Dad. I'm like, I'm kind of funny. I mean, what I do for a living has to kind of have a sense of humor to do that. And he's always like, do you really, though? I was like, no, not really. But I do. Yeah, because he made the point one time. He's like, I've listened to other morning shows, Dad. They're not funny. And I was like, yeah, they're not, but I am.
That kid's just cutting you to the core.
He's really good at it. He's really good at it. If he would apply the same effort that he applies to destroying my soul, if he applied the same effort to his homework, oh my God, he'd be in college by now. But
he'd be cleaning the floors at MIT and solving math problems on the board.
On the big board. I always think it's funny, though, when people... There's so many stories about that where, there's a song. Like, for instance, Queen didn't want to release Another One Bites the Dust as a single. Didn't think it was very good. Didn't think it was that good of a song. And then Michael Jackson saw them in concert in Los Angeles before the album came out. And he was like, oh, my God, that one song, Another One Bites the Dust, that needs to be, that's going to be a huge song for you. And they're like, oh, really? We're just kind of putting it on the album. And he's like, no, that needs to be a single. And then he said, can I please have sex with a child? He was polite about it.
And Queen was like, we don't really have anything to do with that.
And he's like, oh, well, can you find a child for me to have sex with? And they're like, no. Can you get out of here? This is gross. Michael. And he's like, oh, come on, guys. I really need to rape a child.
Quit being ignorant.
Yeah.
Quit being ignorant.
Quit being ignorant. Yeah, South Park again. So thank you, Michael Jackson.
Trey Parker would be an awesome name for a basketball star.
Trey Parker. He's
just parking trays all over the place. threat from deep. Downtown, just parking trays.
Oh, my
left
God.
Left and right.
Okay.
I'm still playing Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Sorry, I just butters. I love Butters. That's my favorite character on that entire show. That show's so...
Oh, boy.
We're
going to go to Mannequins.
That show is so vile and caustic, and I love that. But then you have this just absolutely sweet, innocent person at the center of some of the episodes. He's just such a good kid.
Old Leopold Stotch.
Butters. All right, James, what's your second fact?
My second fact is about MI6.
Okay.
James Bond's house.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Hackers working for UK intelligence agency MI6 modified an online Al-Qaeda magazine and replaced the bomb recipe inside with cake recipes. When followers went to download the 67 pages of instructions on how to make a bomb in the kitchen of your mom.
What?
From Inspire magazine.
That sounds like
Al-Qaeda's first
something
English language
Pornhub.
Magazine. Yeah. Al-Qaeda's first English language magazine, the terrorists were instead greeted with a garbled code that was a page of recipes from Ellen DeGeneres' show's Best Cupcakes in America. MI6 dubbed the cyber attack Operation Cupcake.
Operation Cupcake. That's adorable.
The hacked pipe bomb PDF on Inspire's site was replaced on archive.org before it was replaced by the message, this item is not available due to issues with the item's content. As for Ellen's list, it was as innocuous as could be, telling readers to summon memories of childhood as they tried out recipes for mojito, Rocky Road, and caramel apple cupcakes. The only commonality between the two, the Rocky Road cupcake warned of a sugar rush ahead, while the lethal pipe bomb recipe called for sugar, among other ingredients. Mm. MI6 also removed articles by Osama bin Laden, al-Qaeda figurehead, Ayman al-Zawahiri. Yeah, that's him. That's the one. And a piece called... Where'd it go? Dagnabbit. Stupid phone. What to expect in jihad. They removed that. If you're traveling to jihad,
yeah,
keep this in mind. U.S. had hoped to launch a similar cyber attack on Spire magazine, but was worried it would expose sources and methods. Al-Qaeda was able to reissue the magazine 2 weeks after the cyber attack and has gone on to produce 4 further editions, but British intelligence says it may continue to target the magazine, which is seen as a dangerous source of propaganda because of a flashy design and English language stories.
Hmm. All right. I love that. I always said that was the best way we can beat ISIS and Al-Qaeda and everything is online. It's so important, and we don't factor it in. Same thing with this QAnon bullshit. Like, the easiest way to beat it, or the best way to beat it, is just playing their game. They recruit online. Like, they're not, yeah, they're not going out. They're not going to schools and, hey, kid.
Setting up a booth.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right next to the ROTC.
Are you thinking about a future in terrorism?
Yeah. You can blow up your dad's car and make money at the same time. But the best way to beat them is trolling them, doing that kind of shit. Same thing with QAnon and any other terrorist group or cult or whatever. Just go on. And really, it's funny with, especially with QAnon, because that all that is people, it's a bunch of 15-year-old kids going on 8chan or whatever deviation of 4chan it is, and claiming to be like some operative within the government and lying to people, and then just joking about what they're getting these idiots to fucking believe, because they'll believe anything if it's printed.
Checks out.
Yeah. Should have got them to storm like the Capitol Grill instead of the Capitol or something like that. Well, while I'm here, I guess I can't afford to eat. Never mind.
Secret pizza sex ring.
Yeah. My finale fact is this. Kraft Foods introduced its boxed macaroni and cheese in 1937 when America
Kraft
was...
Dinner.
What? Yes.
Kraft
if you're in Canada, yes. In 1937, when America was in the throes of the Great Depression, with the promise that buyers could feed a family of 4 for only 19 cents. Kraft sold 8 million boxes of its quick and easy macaroni and cheese in the very first year. Now, hold on, let me do this inflation calculator, because I'm kind of curious. How much does a box of macaroni and cheese cost now? Macaroni cheese, hold on.
Because I'm going to be perfectly honest, I have crushed a box of Kraft Dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Today you found out that you're a family of 4. 98 cents for a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese, okay? In 1937, 19 cents with inflation. Not $19, motherfucker. 19 cents. Would be $3.45 now.
Good for you, Kraft.
Good for you, Kraft. Yeah. Wow.
Really?
Okay. So they kept it below the price of inflation. Congrats.
Substantially.
Congratulations.
Substantially below.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, hardly made it out at all, but good job. Good job. So yeah, I originally grabbed this fact because I thought Rod was going to be on the show with us, which he was not. Rod has a huge affinity for Kraft macaroni and cheese, so much so that he believes that it led to his first and less substantial heart attack. I don't know if he stopped eating it after that, but I sincerely doubt it.
Here's the thing about Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's got a special place in my heart, much like Rod's.
Literally, yes.
There are better mac and cheeses out there, like even box style. But there's something about that that, you know, sometimes you're like, you know what? I don't know.
There's just something about it. You're right. It's where the Velveeta shells and cheese are supposed to be better. I just kind of like the nuclear paste of Kraft macaroni and cheese. I don't know what it is.
You got to get butter and milk involved. Like, there's a process.
Yeah.
There's this weird powder that you could snort but shouldn't.
Not twice, anyway. We learned our lesson. But yeah, I and it's one of those foods that's better microwave too. Like, you cook it and it's good. If you reheat it in the microwave, for some reason it's better, and I don't know why. Just
wizardry.
Yeah, it tastes like you hassled mom into making you a snack.
and microwaves didn't even exist when they made it.
Yeah, so how were people even making this food? Maybe that's why it was so cheap at the time. Or actually, pretty goddamn expensive. $3.45 for a box of that? Come on. What are we doing here? All right, James, what's your third and final fact?
Okay, it was on there. It was just kind of small. So, this is the fact that could save your life.
Yeah.
The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a website for zombie preparedness.
Okay.
Legitimate. You can go to cdc.gov, and this is a government funded, your taxpayer dollars at work.
Mm.
Wonder why zombies, zombie apocalypse, and zombie preparedness continue to live or walk dead on a CDC website? As it turns out, what first began as a tongue-in-cheek campaign to engage new audiences with preparedness messages has proven to be a very effective platform. We continue to reach and engage a wide variety of audiences on all hazards preparedness via zombie preparedness.
Mm.
There is a zombie preparedness blog, zombie preparedness for educators, a zombie preparedness poster, download PDF in Spanish.
Mm. Good old PDF.
Zombie preparedness graphic novel, and social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and some orange thing that looks like a Wi-Fi signal. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
I'm cool. I'm hip. I'm with the youngsters.
Some orange thing that looks like a Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah. The icon is orange.
Recently found out that Bluetooth was like a Norwegian king or something like that.
Who ate a lot of blueberries.
United, Norway and Finland, I think. And if you take the symbols for Norway and Finland and put them together, they make the Bluetooth symbol. Anyway.
The runes.
Thank you. The runes. Send the runes. That's what Lord was singing about the whole time.
Stonehenge, where the demons dwell, where the banshees live, and they too live well.
Well, yeah. Stonehenge. What are we doing? Okay, so that was your final fact.
Yep, if you need some zombie preparedness, you can go to cdc.gov and they'll steer you in the right direction.
Or just find a local nerd and ask them, because they will have all sorts of ideas. They have no idea how to get out of their parents' basement, but man, they know where to go if a zombie apocalypse happens.
They got a bug out bag.
Yep. That is our show.
Mel Brooks' son will write a book.
For today, we will obviously have Patreon exclusive episodes going up tonight and all week, and then we'll have a regular weird show for you guys on Thursday. Hopefully Rod will be joining us for that, but he is, like I said, he's visiting family in Texas, so he'll be back for that. But as for us, that's it for the show today, so bye!
Take this, bitch!